1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Thousands are dead and hundreds more people are injured following a massive 7.2 magnitude earthquake in Turkey and Syria. Ismail Al-Abdullah is with a relief group called the White Helmets. They're digging through rubble to search for survivors.
It's a very difficult task for us. We need help. We need the international community to do something.
CBS's Tina Krause reports from our foreign desk in London.
The powerful earthquake struck near the border of Turkey and Syria as people slept. And daylight revealed the scale of the disaster. This man says 12 families were trapped here and no one managed to get out. Rescuers worked quickly and carefully in the bitter cold. Some still buried in the rubble posted videos on social media begging for help.
Turkey's president has declared a seven-day mourning period for those victims. Here at home, President Biden is weighing in on the tragedy. He says he's deeply saddened by the loss of life and devastation. The U.S. has already sent two search and rescue teams to the region to help. Meantime, U.S. military and law enforcement continue to collect debris from that Chinese surveillance balloon that was shot down over the weekend. CBS's Kimmy McCormick.
Recovery crews were able to retrieve some debris yesterday, but sea conditions prevented underwater crews from searching the area. They're at work today, and they include explosive ordnance teams. A U.S. commander says they're concerned about hazardous debris and possibly even explosives, and they're asking the public, if debris washes up on shore, to avoid contact and notify law enforcement.
Authorities in Ohio plan to release toxic chemicals from five cars of a derailed train in East Palestine to avoid a huge explosion. That controlled release starts in about 2 hours. Investigators in Maryland stopped two suspects from shooting up several power substations that would have left thousands in the cold near Baltimore. FBI special agent in charge Thomas Sobosinski says a woman was recorded telling an undercover agent about the plan.
Marylanders can rest assured that a threat to disrupt their daily lives by attacking the local power grid has been stopped.
Those suspects were neo-Nazi extremists. Two children who were kidnapped by their mother in Missouri have now been found in Florida. CBS's Wendy Gillette.
The two abducted children were found last week in a supermarket in High Springs, Florida, near Gainesville, with their mother, who did not have custody. 36-year-old Christy Gilley. Police located Gilley after running a routine vehicle check that showed she was a fugitive. Gilley remains in jail. The two children, who are now 11 and 12 years old, were abducted last March from Clay County, Missouri, a suburb of Kansas City.
Police say they'll be reunited with their family soon. This is CBS News.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, February 7th. In Wood County, the Operations Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse. The Wisconsin Rapids Finance and Property Committee meeting will take place at 4 p.m. in the Council Chambers at City Hall. In Portage County, the Traffic Safety Commission will meet at 1 p.m., the Treatment Court Oversight Committee will meet at 2:30, the Space and Properties Committee will meet at 3:30, the Executive Operations Committee will meet at 5 p.m., and the Land and Water Conservation Committee will meet at 7 p.m. The Stevens Point Police and Fire Commission will meet at 2 p.m. in the Community Room, and the Downtown Business Improvement District will meet at 3:30 in the City Conference Room. In Adams County, the Land and Water and UWEX Committee meeting will take place from 1 to 2:30 p.m. at the Adams County Courthouse. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Cloudy skies overnight with a chance for isolated rain showers. Lows around 31. Winds out of the southwest 10 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 35. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 19. 1 to 3 inches of snow Wednesday night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
AUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the time of the show where we're going to plug the Civic Media app. Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center, Amory, Madison, Waukesha, Oshkosh, and we're still growing.
What should we call this radio station? Rebecca, and she came up with, what about Radio or No?
Radio or No?
Radio or No. Welcome to Radio or No. Well, what do you think?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the noon hour. Thank you for joining us today on your lunch hour. We have a great hour of programming coming up for you. So at the bottom of the hour, if you wondered what happened with the Inflation Reduction Act, it's here. It's in effect. How does it affect you? We're going to talk about it. We're going to give you the tangible things that you can take advantage of now that that law is in effect.
Is in the books.
And then at the bottom of the hour, it's a big Biden week, both for the State of the Union, which is tomorrow, but he's also coming to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that. But for the first half, we are going to talk about the question of the day, which is every week it feels like one of the topics we cover is one of the industries that has a crucial labor shortage, whether it's teachers, whether it's lawyers who are public defenders or
doctors,
veterinarians. But truly, I'm feeling this in my personal life right now because I have a loved one who is in need of advanced care from an injury and age and everything. And part of the problems we're seeing as a family right now is her access to care and how much more caregivers are needed across the state. And so at least there is an attempt to to alleviate this shortage. And it comes as a new program that is coming out of the UW Green Bay. And they've developed the state's only training program for caregiver supervisors. And here to talk about the program and how this can potentially help the shortage that we're seeing is Carrie Winkler, who is a program specialist in the Division of Continuing Education and Community Engagement at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. Welcome to the show, Carrie.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. So before we jump into the program itself, can you describe for the audience the extent of the problem in Wisconsin right now when it comes to caregivers for our aging population?
Yes. So right now, the population 65 and older makes up about 15% of our population. By 2024, they will make up 24%. So that is a big amount of people who are going to be 65 and older who are going to need additional care, whether that be in their home or in a facility such as an assisted living or long-term care facility. And that baby boomer population is growing. Unfortunately, our caregiver profession population is shrinking. And so over the past couple of years, we have seen the shortage, which is looking to get only worse as those numbers of the elderly population are increasing and needing that additional home care or facility care.
And so with the shortage, because as you heard me say in the setup, it feels like there's a lot of different industries that have shortages right now. And is it just because of our population? Is it just because of the working age population? Or is it that less people are getting the training and wanting to go into this specific profession?
I think it's a little bit of everything. It started out, you know, with our baby boomer population getting a little bit older, so those numbers increasing. And then, you know, when COVID hit, that took a toll on our caregivers as well. They got burnt out. You know, they were dealing with obviously COVID and policies at facilities where they had vaccine mandates. So that made some caregivers leave the profession. Also, you know, from a salary standpoint, unfortunately, a salary for a caregiver is not very high. So we're currently working on that, or the state is working on that, but other professions have increased their salary quicker, and mm-hmm. So when people are out there looking for jobs and they're comparing salaries, you know, they can go to a different place of employment and make $2 to $3 to $4 more than what they would at a home health care or assisted living facility.
Which feels like
a number of different factors.
Yeah, but just to follow up, and then I do want to get into the details of the program, because I think it sounds exciting and it's the first of its kind, or at least first of its kind in Wisconsin. But it sounds like it's a similar, as far as whenever I wrap my head around it, it's the same on the opposite age spectrum of caregivers for children too, where the cost of care is so high, but the people who are delivering the care get paid so little. And so...
Exactly.
Right. And it's wild as far as I think I read the other day that the average cost of per year for someone who needs to live in a nursing home is like $109,000 a year. But it's not like people who are providing that care are making six figures.
Yes. Unfortunately, you are absolutely right that it does. It costs a lot. To have those services provided, but unfortunately, the people who are, you know, providing those services aren't getting paid that money. So yeah,
exactly. There's a black hole somewhere that we're not going to get into now. Because what I do want to get into is talking about the program. And so this is the first of its kind, and it's free. Am I understanding that correct?
It is. Yes, that's what we're probably the most excited about, is that we're able to offer this to people for no cost.
And so what are the details of the program? Who is it for? And how does the intention aim to kind of solve this shortage?
Yeah. So back in 2019, UW Green Bay sent out a survey to caregivers. And, you know, one of the questions was if you're thinking of leaving or recently left, you know, what was the reason? Number one reason was pay. And the second reason was climate and atmosphere. Mm. So unfortunately, the university can't do anything about the pay. But what we can do is help improve that climate and atmosphere when it comes to supervisors and managers, right? So this program, this HCBS management training series, focuses on the preparation and training for managers, supervisors, and leaders working within the HCBS system. So those are the people who we're focusing on. And by doing that, we're hoping to recruit and retain employees by giving the supervisors and managers the tools and the knowledge of how to build a safe and productive and inspiring workplace culture.
That's so interesting, because I think that's something, because you think about the training and the what you need to be able to be someone who is giving direct care. But sometimes we forget about in the service industry, you still want a good manager. Like, you still want someone who's providing you good feedback and setting the tone and like kind of like organizational behavior 101 as far as how the working environment feels. And it's so interesting that that was, because pay makes sense, as we were just saying. But as far as that being the second reason why people are, this feels like a disorganized atmosphere to live in and or to work in. And so this program specifically designed to create a better working environment for those people.
Correct. Yeah. So some of the topics that are included within the training are going to be, you know, those leadership skills, including communication, interpersonal relationships, conflict resolution, goal setting, and diversity in the workplace. You know, so this is all going to enable and to help those leaders, supervisors, and managers become stronger in their roles, thereby impacting the ability, to retain and to grow that caregiver workforce.
On the phone is Carrie Winkler, who is the program specialist for the Wisconsin Caregiver Academy, which is a new program at the UW-Green Bay, trying to address the care worker shortage that we have in the state. And so for you, because this is leadership training, this is management training specific for this industry, who are the type of people that you are trying to recruit to take advantage of this free training?
Anyone within a leadership role. So, a lot of times we think, oh, it's just got to be managers or supervisors. Not necessarily. Anyone in that leadership role who is going, to be able to kind of, lead the caregivers and to promote that workplace culture, that positive environment. So anyone, and the HCBS is the home and community-based setting. So whether that be, home health or an assisted living, those are really the people that we're focusing on to ultimately improve that workplace culture to retain and attract caregivers.
And has the first, semester kicked off? Is this up and running, or is it still about to debut?
It is about to debut, yes. So we received the grant from the Department of Health Services, and so we have been busy putting everything together and kind of working out the logistics. So our plan is to have registration open this spring. So we're hoping March at the earliest and April at the latest. But our first course, and a great thing about this program is that we have a couple different tracks. So depending on what the person's interests are, so we're offering both credit and non-credit. So if this person thinks that they might want to go on to get like an associate's or a bachelor's degree, they can have these courses count for credit.
Oh, wow.
So that they can go on. If they figure, okay, I just want to, go through the training and get the certificate for this, then they would choose a non-credit option. And, both of them, it's going to be the same information. It's just, credit versus non-credit, and they would need credit if they would like to move on. But that initial course is going to be an intro to management and healthcare.
Right.
So all learners are going to have that first initial course. And then...
Oh, Carrie, unfortunately, I'm going to have to cut you off.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tase at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudy's takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Thank you.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join our team in the fight against cancer at V.org.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us.
We go through safety training and try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to FarmSafe811.org.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We were just talking to Carrie Winkler, who was talking about the new program going on at UW Green Bay for the Wisconsin Caregiver Academy, which we'll link all that information since we had to cut her off a little bit because of our hard breaks.
We got those hard breaks.
But, you know, it's, and I didn't want to get in too deep with the why and try, so we had enough time to talk about what the program is going to do and how great this is and how it's one of the first ones. Because I do think, I talked about this a lot at one point when I was dating, this was years ago, but I was dating someone who's a lawyer and had like a corporate law firm. And the thing with law firms is the people get promoted and make partner are just people who were lawyers. Like they don't necessarily go through management training. Like
right.
I think so many in so many different professions, especially when it's not some big corporation that has the resources to provide management training, we forget that not everyone is a natural born leader who necessarily understands how to coach people,
right?
How to do conflict resolution, how to communicate, you know, and no matter what kind of company you're working in, whether it's a nursing home or a school or a radio station, you need good leadership to feel, to have everyone who works there feel valued or encouraged or feel like they have positive reinforcement or constructive criticism and stuff. And so it's such a blind spot that I'm so happy that they're created this program because, and as someone who's never worked in a nursing home, I can imagine in a stressful environment of trying to provide care for people who are high need, having a manager who is not good at their job only adds to the stress.
Oh, what a nightmare, right?
Totally.
It's just one thing on top of another. And I think it's important to point out, too, that just being bossy does not encapsulate what a boss is.
No.
Because there's plenty of people who are bossy who would be terrible bosses.
Yes. That is true. And so I'm very encouraged to hear how this program works. I would assume once we know that the registration is open, we would share that. But for now, in the notes for today's show, we will link the Twitter account. We will link the Facebook. But we didn't get to do this, but it really, one in four or one in five, I've heard conflicting stats for this, of Wisconsin's long-term caregiver positions are unfilled right now.
Wow.
And, you know, I mentioned a little bit just some personal family stuff that's happening, which is, it's not, I mean, it's everything. It's teachers, like, not being there and how that impacts our kids. It's the the legal system,
yes,
and how backed up the courts are, because not only are there not enough public defenders, there's also now not enough prosecutors,
right,
in the DA offices.
Right.
And so the impact on, let's call it, service workers, especially government service workers, is impacting all of us. And if you have anyone when it comes to caregiving in your life who is already in need of care, or all of us, I would assume, have people in their life who will eventually need care.
Oh, yeah.
You should care about this.
Definitely.
Because lack of support and lack of actual people power to provide this care means the people who are there are stretched so thin. And so that potentially your loved ones aren't getting the care that they deserve and need to have a decent quality of life.
Yeah.
And so I asked this question and I almost feel like we need more time to talk about it. So maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll bump the Inflation Reduction Act conversation to tomorrow and keep this rolling. Cause I asked the question on my Twitter and TikTok and Instagram and everything. And I open the question up to you right now, to anyone listening, which shortage is the worst shortage?
Out of the many that we're experiencing.
Out of the many that we're experiencing. 844-967-2789. I think right now on Twitter, teachers is winning, because
okay,
the options for Twitter that I put out, I almost have 100 votes on this already, but I put caregivers. And truthfully, there's a difference between care, providing care for children, which is also necessary,
oh, right,
and also very expensive. And there's also care for elderly. But then, so I put that as one option, teachers, public defenders / DA. And then I put other, leave a comment. And that other, leave a comment is 2% right now. Teachers are 58%. Caregivers is 31%, and public defenders is 9%. But when we come back, I'll certainly read some of the responses that I've gotten to this. I know on the live, we've gotten some comments on this already, because they all feel bad. And I feel like I can make an argument for, I mean, it's not really a competition, let's be honest.
Who's the worst?
Who's the worst?
What's the worst possible outcome?
Which situation is actually going to screw us the most? This is a fun game to play. And, you know, but on top of everything, another report came out on Friday, that, you know, it seems, at least in the percentages that were listed, it seems somewhat marginal, but a new report, Wisconsin colleges and universities see smaller enrollment declines than neighboring states. And so we still are seeing declines, though. And most of these professions that we're talking about, and granted, there's also a labor shortage in the service industry. And, you know, us saying why it takes so long to get your food, or how long you're waiting at restaurants, and restaurants that are closing because they just can't find anyone to work. And so there are even less skilled jobs that are also suffering, but a lot of the jobs that we rely on do require some kind of advanced certification, education,
something.
And thus we need to continue to encourage, whether it's technical college or a four-year university, encourage people to be going to school, because we need people to fill these jobs.
Right. Because we're getting older.
We are getting older, and we're not having kids as much as we need to be, or letting in as many immigrants as we should. We're going to keep it going. 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
And cut our budget in two. We can trade the car in for a horse or a bicycle built for two. We can still have a portion of moonlight, another helping of stars and such, so there won't be a shortage of.
The Shaw 101 FM, your from the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed. My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 a.m, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Enrollment numbers at Wisconsin's technical colleges are up, while four-year college enrollments continue to drop. Last year saw a 10% increase in enrollment at technical colleges. Wisconsin's private four-year universities saw a drop of 12%, and public four-year college enrollment dropped 2%. National data shows that surrounding states have a larger decline in enrollment. The national decline is not unexpected. Lower birth rates have resulted in fewer students enrolling and graduating from high school. A Wisconsin man received a 16-year prison sentence for shooting at children who were throwing snowballs at his car in Milwaukee. William Carson was found guilty on 2 counts for first-degree reckless injury and 5 counts of first-degree recklessly endangering safety. 2 of the children were hit by bullets in the thigh and arm. Another child was grazed by a bullet. The judge included 10 years of extended supervision in the sentence. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies, overnight, with a chance for isolated rain showers. Lows around 31, winds out of the southwest 10 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 35. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 19. 1 to 3 inches of snow Wednesday night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
Us. We always appreciate it. And here's a reminder to tell your friends about us.
Spread the word.
Spread the word. Spread the word about As Goes Wisconsin. Spread the word about Civic Media. If you like us and our programming, we are a growing network, and word of mouth is the best way to gain the trust of other people who might appreciate the tone and the point of view that
information, chuckles,
the sense of humor that we bring. Especially on this show.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go and say it, that we're the funniest show.
I will absolutely concur with that. And there's no one here. There's no one here to dispute us right now anyway. So we're going to do that because we can.
We will. I might hear from some other hosts later trying to dispute it. Oh. But at least right now I'm saying we're the funniest show.
Let's go with that.
All right. So we are talking about, I think, something that almost everyone is feeling one way or another. Unless, I guess maybe you're insulated from this if you're very wealthy. I don't know. I don't know who would be insulated from the labor shortage across industry that is a massive problem for everyone. And this, I bring this up today because we had a guest on earlier this hour, Carrie Winkler, talking about a new program that is free and will be training for people who are in the management or leadership positions in homes and organizations.
Caregivers. Yeah.
And it made me think of kind of like the 10,000 foot view question of this, which is a common theme on this show, a common theme in headlines in Wisconsin in general, is a labor shortage. And when it comes to, this was 2 weeks ago that we saw a headline that said the Wisconsin bar has said that we are in a constitutional crisis.
This is bad.
Because of the lack of lawyers, and not lack of lawyers, period.
No, there's plenty of lawyers in the world.
We still have a lot of lawyers.
There's lots of lawyers.
But the uneven distribution of how people are paid.
Well, we're talking about prosecutors and public defenders.
So this is almost everything. This is also even doctors to a certain extent. And not that doctors don't get paid, but to a certain extent, if you think about the positions, we've talked about it before. If we think about tech jobs, and granted, they're going through a lot of layoffs right now, but a lot of those people are still making well into six figures. And the difference in the free market, in the free labor market that we have, if you are a talented, educated person who isn't necessarily driven by your heart and trying to make a difference in the world,
right?
You know, the labor market is such as, why would you do this if you can go make a lot more money doing that?
And we had a story last week, I believe, the starting salary for public defenders is like $56,000 a year.
Yeah.
Whereas if you get out of law school and you join a law firm, it's like $175,000 a year.
I had a friend who is still a public defender. And at one point, her little sister had a job as a nanny in the Bay Area in California.
Mm-hmm.
And her sister was making more as a nanny than she was as a public defender.
As a lawyer. Wow.
And, you know, granted, the person that that her sister was a nanny for, I still don't know who it was because she wasn't allowed to talk about it, but it was someone who...
Some mucky muck.
And, you know, if the rational actor chooses... And we're not rational actors, right? Some of us, you follow your passion, you follow what you'd like to do. I was making into six figures when I worked in tech, and I was like, I'm going to go to comedy and
wise
make videos about politics.
That was so smart of you.
And so, to a certain extent, I say that as there's plenty of people who do continue to choose things that are not the highest paid jobs because of what they're inspired to do, what feels fulfilling. And so there's always going to be those people as well, but there is such a uneven distribution of where talent is being attracted to participate, and it's banking, it's tech, it's these high-end, not like in service of others, really, and it's leaving so few people who actually want to go into these jobs that we also, and I'm going to be honest, don't respect that much.
Look at what we've done to teachers.
I was just reading, and maybe we'll talk about it later this week. With teachers, it's, you know, because one of the arguments when it comes to the teacher shortage is, oh, we should lower the barrier to entry to become a teacher. And that's fine. But if the conditions of once you get there still suck, what's going to keep those people there?
Truly.
And because it's not even just that we don't pay them enough. It's that we treat them like crap. Especially in this state. We treat them with such suspicion, and the teachers union, and they get summers off, And this idea that, and forget that they're all working second jobs.
And buying their own class supplies.
And so it's that. It's also, I mean, we're going to do another story because in my attempt, as people are now coming to me, and I open this up to anyone listening right now, send us stories. Send us stories of stuff that's happening in your community that we can bring people on to talk about that like deserves more coverage. Because I had someone reach out to me about the EMS and firefighter shortage that we're having. And I'm going to try to get one of the people, I know PBS has covered this, but try to get someone on to talk about that. Because even that, you know, to a certain extent, we talk about the thin blue line and backing the blue and backing the badge and our first responders and everything. But ultimately, like, we have to pay them. And there's less people who want to go do that job. There's less people who want to take care of our elderly and our aging population, which is growing rapidly.
Yes.
And so my question, and you're welcome to answer, 844-967-2789. You're calling into Asgos, Wisconsin, and we're talking about...
And you can call or text.
You can call or text on that number, 844-967-2789. We're talking about basically which shortage is the worst shortage. And if you have solutions as to what we could actually do, that would be great too. But on Facebook, on the live stream on Facebook, we got a message from Joseph McClear who said, I'm an elder law attorney and I've been sounding the alarm on the caregiver crisis for years. The over 65 population and the percentage of people with Alzheimer's dementia will skyrocket over the next two decades. But currently about one fifth of all senior caregivers are unfilled. And why? Because they don't get paid enough. This is really a Medicaid problem, and the state should be using that massive surplus now to rectify the issue. And then he also weighed in when we were talking to Carrie and said, the cost of care is so high because the Medicaid reimbursement rate from the state is so paltry, and two-thirds of the folks in the facilities are on Medicaid. This means the one-third of folks that are privately paying are paying extra to cover the shortfall.
Oh.
Because also, what people don't realize is a lot of times to get Medicaid to cover your stay, you also have to basically go bankrupt.
Right. You can't have anything.
Like, you have to have your total assets go down to $2,000, which is insane. And another from Robin Allen said, memory care facilities are expensive and yet they are understaffed and the staff is undertrained. These facilities are staffed by young people right out of high school. How can this be okay?
And don't forget too, and I just talked to someone who has a relative with Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's patients can live a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 10, 15 years after they're diagnosed and require a lot of care.
And a lot of care that we're not, I mean, it's one thing when we talk about paid leave for care. And often I think people think about that as babies and being able to take, you know, have time when you're first have a new child.
Somebody has surgery. You have to help.
But that's the thing also. And the limitations of any of us to provide care for our loved ones when they're aging. Because I try to think about this. Like, I think, you know, when we had Luann Bird on here, who was running for assembly last fall. And, you know, she kind of talks about a turning point in her life being when her husband became disabled and paralyzed. And I think about that sometimes with Mike, who is a 200 plus pound man. And I am not like a dainty flower. I couldn't, if something were to ever happen with him, like I couldn't pick him up, you know? And so it's like the care that even if you have the ability, even if you worked for a place that provided paid leave for you to be able to take care of an aging parent or a spouse, you're not trained to do that necessarily, right, or have the equipment in your house or could pay for the equipment in your house to be able to move this person.
Bathe this person.
Yeah.
Toilet this person.
And it's just like, we just continue like, well, we'll figure it out. But it's the same thing, you know, with teachers. And so right now, teachers is still winning, at least on Twitter, at 58%. And, one of the responses there was, can't speak to caregivers, but teachers and ADA shortages have been significantly impacted by Act 10. Government jobs can't compete with private pay, And now health and pension changes have made these positions even less appealing.
Well, and you weren't here when that all happened under former Governor Scott Walker.
No.
And the rhetoric that was used and aimed at our teachers was shameful.
Yeah.
Just shameful. And now it's only gotten worse since then, which breaks my heart. Like many professions, not everyone is a great teacher, but there are many, many, many great teachers who do it because they love it and do it because they love the kids.
Absolutely. Well, and I think I was just having this conversation last week, which is when we talk poorly about government workers, why are we surprised when no one wants to do those jobs? And I don't just mean teachers. I mean garbage collectors, people who work at the DMV, because that is the most low-hanging fruit joke there is, right?
Right.
That the DMV is the seventh level of hell or whatever. And people who work at City Hall, people, you know, and we just always reinforce this attitude that the government is inefficient and the people who work at the government are lazy. Couldn't get jobs in the private sector. And so that's why they have jobs there.
Well, that might be applicable for some politicians, but I'm just throwing that out there.
What do we expect when the rhetoric and the stereotype of people who work for local and state or even federal governments are lazy, freeloaders, not good at their jobs? And then when we have all these shortages and we don't pay them and society starts to buckle, and we're all surprised, like, oh, why does no one want to work anymore?
How did this happen? I don't understand.
And it's why, and I, it goes back to the same thing as when people are fiscal conservatives, but socially liberal. Like, what does that actually mean? Because we have to pay for things. And they're like, well, government's inefficient. It's like, well, who's going to pay for this stuff?
Privatize everything.
Like, where, so if people can't afford, as we said, you have to spend all of your money to be able to qualify for Medicaid. And if it's over $100,000 a year for nursing homes, all of that retirement that most people don't even have goes pretty quickly. And so tell me how the privatization of nursing homes and Medicaid and everything, if people have no money, how is that system going to work? Like, that is where the fiscal conservatives out there who are so angry about spending when it comes to taking care of our people and taking care of their health and making sure they don't fall through the cracks. It's like, explain to me how this works, because you can't only pull yourself from up by your bootstraps so much.
And you got to have a pair of boots.
And you do have to have a pair of boobs.
Either or, whatever you find more useful for pulling yourself up.
And with that, when we come back, we're going to talk about Biden in a big week. Big week for Biden. This is Ask Coast Wisconsin.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
This time next week, I'll be sick in bed with West Nile virus, thanks to a mosquito bite right in front of my house.
In 8 minutes, my daughter will be in an ambulance, having an asthma attack triggered by cockroaches.
I'm going to be bitten by a tick today. I won't even know it until Lyme disease turns my life upside down.
Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
Face it, life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy,
so we don't miss out on what matters, like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
With Kristen Bride, we got Jane Matt Nair on the board. And no matter where you're listening, thank you for tuning in. If you missed any part of today's show, you can always go back and listen to it as a podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen, which is also where you can find the live stream.
Yeah.
If you're ever wondering, I'm not going to be in my car and I'm not going to be in the service area of this show. Where can I find my fix? Of As Goes Wisconsin from 11 to 2. You can find it by streaming us either on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or civicmedia.us that has all of the stations and all of the shows.
And check them all out.
And you can just download the app, the Civic Media app. And so that has all of the different stations that you can switch between and all of our content because we are live every day. Actually, I need to hear how the Charlie Barron's.
He premiered on Saturday.
He premiered on Saturday. And on the new, we rebranded the Madison station. And so now I think all weekend we disrupted regular programming on that Madison station to play Charlie Barron's for like 48 hours straight. So I'm excited to check in with the team and hear how that went. But yeah, lots of big things happening across the Civic Media Network, including that we are going to be airing live tomorrow night, the State of the Union, Mr. Biden on his third State of the Union. And we just had State of the State. So what games does one play for State of the Union? Is there more bingo or drinking
State
games?
State of the Union bingo.
Is it like over-unders? We should get Dr. Mike on and like, what's the betting market for State of the Union, like over-unders on clap time and standing ovation time, how many guests people bring that he
acknowledges.
Actually, we're going to try to get Tammy Baldwin's guest, who she's taking to the State of the Union. He's from Appleton, and he's a senior who's on Medicare, and he has diabetes, and he's benefiting from the new $35 a month insulin cap that went into effect on January 1st.
And who signed that bill? Who made that happen?
President Biden.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we're trying to see if we can get him on the show to talk about what it was like to be there. Because I don't, like, so the other big Biden news this week is that he's coming to Wisconsin.
Wednesday.
He's coming to Wisconsin Wednesday. He's going to Madison. It's to celebrate the jobs report and how this very conflicting information I feel like we get on the state of our economy. It's like, oh, there's all these layoffs in the tech industry.
But
there's more jobs than ever.
500,000 jobs.
And unemployment is super low, but a recession is coming and don't play with the market. What is going on? We don't know. I guess it depends on which article you read, it feels like.
On which day.
But he is coming on Wednesday to tout the jobs report. And I think this is my point as far as I certainly would not turn down the invitation to go to the State of the Union. But I also don't know if I'm going out of my way to go to Madison to meet the president. Like, have you met any of our presidents?
I have not.
Do you feel like you're missing out on something?
No. Because we're both actors. We both have acting backgrounds.
We do.
And there is a certain amount of acting when you're in a position like that, and they look you warmly in the eye and shake your hand, and then they forget you. I met Governor Tommy Thompson once. He was very nice. He said, "Hi, how are you? It changed my life." No, it didn't. But he was a very nice man.
That's a guy who likes to be liked.
Yeah. And I think they all want to be liked.
Ooh.
Maybe not all.
That was my understanding that was the biggest shift between a Tommy Thompson governorship and a Scott Walker governorship. And like Tommy Thompson won everyone because that man loved to be loved and he wanted to build coalitions and he wanted to be popular versus the strategy of Walker. And again, I wasn't here during that time. I was finishing college, but what I understand it is that he was like, if we just double down and turn out our base so aggressively, we don't need them. And so we don't have to appeal to the other side. And it was the doubling down on the divisiveness that was his strategy. And so
he was Governor Divide and Conquer.
Yeah. And so it's like, I think that there are, and it only got worse with all the gerrymandering, right?
Yes, absolutely.
In what we've seen in our state with our legislature of people who are further and further to their side. And granted, there's a lot more Republicans than Democrats, but even in the very blue areas, a lot of those people, unless they get primaried, aren't going to lose their seat because it's a blue district.
Right.
And the same thing on the other side. But that also escalates to how few competitive congressional seats there are across the country. And so in the advancement of the divide and conquer in all 435 congressional districts across the country, how many more extreme people you have who have that attitude, and not all of them, but like how many more you have that attitude of, I don't have to play to the other side. I don't have to win every county. I don't have to be loved by those people. I just have to be loved by the people who are on my side.
But additionally, because of the gerrymander, they don't even have to care about what their side wants. They don't have to do anything. We want medical marijuana in this state, a vast majority of state residents, including Republicans. We don't want permitless concealed carry. We don't want kids bringing guns in their cars at school. Mm-hmm. And yet the Republican legislature, because they are so gerrymandered, don't have to respond to what their constituents want. They can do what they and their lobbyists want.
That is correct. Anyways, big Biden week. He's going to be here on Wednesday. We're going to see if we can get Tammy Baldwin's guest that she's bringing to the State of the Union on the show either Wednesday or Thursday after to tell us the debrief of what it was like to be there on Across the Civic Media Network. If you would like to listen to the State of the Union, we will be airing that tomorrow. And I'm sure we'll be talking more. Maybe we'll talk about this a little bit tomorrow the run-up, because ChatGPT, which you still don't really understand what it is, but it's like an AI chat that is like, people are concerned that, you know, high school students aren't going to write their essays anymore, and all of this, what AI is going to unleash as far as, you know, humans' ability to create things. But I guess ChatGPT, based on historical State of the Unions, wrote a State of the Union for Biden. I have not read how it turned out yet.
Oh, that's fascinating.
I've seen ChatGPT try to write jokes. Not great.
No.
Not very funny. So we'll see how good it is tomorrow at predicting what the president is going to say. But for now, we're going to do the top of the hour news. And when we come back, the Grammys. The best, worst, embarrassing, all of it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Iron Man. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, If you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services
WFHR,
Administration.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.